with Belgians, is it wit or vit? Because
I say wit.
I was saying vit.
I've always said wit.
Yeah, I was saying vit all last episode, and I was listening to it as I was editing. I'm like, I sound like a fucking idiot.
You vanker.
That sounds stupid.
Yeah, I'm a massive vanker.
Like Westblatteren.
I had a lot of trouble saying Westblatteren.
That's German, isn't it?
Yeah.
Germans V the W, don't they?
They do.
But I'm not sure if the Flemish do.
Yeah.
Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Welcome to Sessionable. It's a bit of a bonus episode for all you guys. It's a very sessionable Christmas.
Wham!
Christmasable?
Pardon?
Christmasable?
Christmasable?
Carolable?
Santa-able? Yeah.
Presentable?
Nice.
So welcome everybody to our very special bonus episode. I'll start that all over again. No, we won't. Leaving all this in. We've got a jam-packed episode for you. It's probably going to go on for quite a while. Be a big one. We've got a lot of beer to get through. But it's going to be great. We've got some really cool Christmas beers. And we've all brought some beers to give as presents as well to each other. So.
Or punishments.
Presents or punishments. Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to get... big.
It's going to get big, so we might as well get straight into it. Our first Christmas beer, who brought this one? That was our producer Lee brought this one. It's the Mikkola Hoppy Lovin' Christmas. So yeah, let's see what we think. Just quickly, have you guys had this beer before?
Yeah, once.
Yeah. A while ago. Yeah,
I think two Christmases ago I had it.
Yeah, be about right. Hmm.
I think I had it last year, probably around this time. Mm. Yeah. It's got a really nice nice colour.
Golden colour, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good malt profile.
Yeah.
Do you get a bit of like a Christmas spice on the nose as well? I don't know if it is... Is it meant to be like a Christmas spice beer?
I'm not sure.
I can't read Danish, so it says it's got Vand, malt,
Humle. Oh, you've got to have the Vand.
The Vand. Yeah. Yeah. Malt, Humle, Ingefær, I don't know, and Gran og Gær.
Mm. So I'm guessing Humle is hops.
That's all I know. And malt, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it's malt.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, so correct me if I'm wrong, internet.
So there's, according to the internet, there's two versions of this beer. One, the Danish version, which is brewed with mistletoe. There's a US version that's brewed without mistletoe, as it could not get food grade approved. I'm going to take a stab and say this one's a Danish one.
It looks Danish.
It looks Danish.
With the non-English back label, yeah. I'm going to say
yeah.
That.
So yeah, probably.
Got mistletoe.
Cool.
I'm not sure what age this beer's at now. There's not a lot of hops left.
It's got a nice bitterness. It's a bit there.
It's definitely come a lot of like a malt forward. But
yeah,
it's nice.
But it's got that's a really nice light, easy, crispy beer to start with.
It does smell like Christmas. It's quite a lot of citrus there.
Mm.
I don't even know what that means.
It smells like Christmas.
Mm.
Yeah.
Pain and suffering. According to our producer.
Yeah, our Grinch producer.
There's definitely hints of pain.
So maybe we'll talk about just like Christmas beers in general. I mean, it's quite a tradition up in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, big, rich, dark, spicy sort of beers for Christmas. And it started to work its way down here. What do you guys think of like just the idea of Christmas beers? And
I love Christmas beers. I mean, even though it's the completely wrong beers for our climate at Christmas,
yeah.
I think I really like Christmas beers. It's one of those, one of the few seasonal styles of beers that sort of caught on, starting to catch on here. Yeah, even though, like, yeah, it's the complete opposite climate, but then you're starting to see some Aussie breweries trying to figure out some sort of Australian...
Yeah, I think didn't Four Pines do a Christmas Saison last year and this year?
Yeah.
Which I think that to me is like... I think I had it last year.
Yeah.
And that is like, that should be what an Australian Christmas beer is, because
Hot
it's...
Dog White Christmas would be another one. It was definitely like a lighter style...
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, but then there's other Australian breweries that have done like the more traditional style, really big ones like Red Hill and stuff like that. But I think Christmases are amazing.
Cool.
I mean, if you're having the really heavy food that you
traditionally like big really turkeys well. And hams and
dark meats,
But I like I like the idea of the like a Christmas saison to match with like prawns and
it's great. Yeah.
I'm kind of in the middle of the road with Christmas beers. They're hit and miss for me. Probably because I don't usually go for the artificially spiced beers.
Yeah.
But that being said, I have had some really good ones that I can't name off the top of my head at the moment. I'm sure we'll have a few good ones today.
I think we will.
As well.
Yeah.
I mean, one that comes to mind to me that we don't have here, which I wanted to bring, but we've got enough beer, was the Northern Oak God Jewel.
Okay.
I think that's one really nice.
Oh damn! I could have brought that.
Yeah.
Well, if we run out of beer,
no, I don't think we are.
I don't think we are.
But I mean, for me, because of that, because of our climate, a Christmas beer is, you know, something light, sessionable.
Yeah.
But do you think a Christmas beer, even though it's going to be light and sessionable for an Australian Christmas beer, should have that sort of spice thing going on, or?
I'm not sure, but I mean, for me personally, I'd like drinking lighter beers at Christmas time.
Just because it's so hot.
I usually bring like a 6-pack of Pacific Ale to Christmas lunch or something.
It's going
to
be hard to do this year.
But I think this year I might bring the Mountain Goat Summer Ale. I had it yesterday for the first time.
In the cans?
I reckon the Mountain Goat Summer Ale is a great beer.
Oh, it's a cracker.
Yeah. At the risk of just... becoming a massive cliche of myself, I'm probably going to go the Riverside 69 Summer Ale this year. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry at all.
Speaking of which, I heard that 777's out.
It's out, yeah.
I haven't seen it around yet. I think it's at a brewery. It's at the brewery at the moment.
It's at the
brewery. No, the brewery's run out.
Really?
I saw on Facebook say the brewery's run out, but he has sent some kegs out, but I don't know where.
I am quivering in anticipation.
I think with that we... And all right, to get some 777.
Yeah, we'll talk to Dave and just make it happen.
Great.
Tom won't know what to gush about.
Well, we might keep it at a quick pace, mate. I don't know. Yeah. I'm drinking faster than everyone, so I'll wait for you guys. But
I'm just working my way out of a meat coma.
Meat coma. Yeah, mm-hmm. We started. Our session off today with a lot of meat. Thanks, Liam.
Christmas lunch. Yeah, thanks, Liam. That was, no worries, man. That was tasty.
It was good fun.
Okay, so we've got our second beer. This one's not necessarily a Christmas beer, although
the idea was that we all brought a present for everyone to try as well.
So this one's a present from our producer to all of us. So Merry Christmas, Lee.
The only one out of us who doesn't like Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the Bridge Road Posse Summer. So this is part of the Bridge Road
Posse Pack. Yeah.
Indeed.
So this is a Belgian pale ale, right? Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I smelt Belgian straight away when.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've never had any of the Posse stuff before.
No, neither have I.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, get the Belgian.
Posse's the Bridge Road membership program.
Yep, and you get exclusive beers.
And they just send it to you every quarter or
you can
something?
Get it quarterly or bi-monthly, I think, is the options. And it seems like a pretty good deal. I might sign up for it.
Yeah, from what I hear, it's a good deal.
Yeah. This is really, really nice. I could drink a lot of this.
Get a bit like that oatmeal on the nose as well.
I just get like a really nice Belgian fruity sort of, almost like a bit of stone fruity as well, maybe from the hops. I don't know. But yeah, no, this is really nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's pretty smashable.
Yeah, this is the kind of Christmas beer I was talking about. Even though it's not a Christmas beer.
It's a good beer for Christmas.
Yeah,
it's a good beer for our Christmas.
Yeah, like have a six-pack of this or...
Mm. And, I mean, maybe brewers here should start doing Christmas beers in that same vein.
You
know.
But, I mean, like, I don't know, for me, like, if I do Christmas stuff, like, you've got, like, your beer that you can, like, a more sessionable style of beer, be it something like this or, you know, the Mountain Goat somewhere else, but then you'll probably bring a couple of bottles of big beer as well to share.
True.
So you can have, like, your big dark Christmas, traditional Christmas spice beers, and then some smashable stuff, like, you know, like a specific ale or...
Summer ale. Yeah, definitely.
We're definitely developing, like, as an Australian style, like the summer ale style of beers.
And especially over the last year, you've really seen that
develop
as a style with, you know, Mountain Goat.
Nail.
Bridge Road.
Yeah, like a bit more of like a hop forward.
Golden ale. Yeah.
Wheat.
A bit lighter on the body, but with a really nice sort of... and all of them have a fairly unique hop character. They're all got different sort of blends of hops and different flavours. But they're very similar in that, I think. And a lot of them have a bit of wheat in them as well.
Hmm. What I like about them is they all seem to be, like, fairly hop forward, but not too big on bitterness.
They're not massively hoppy.
But you get a nice little hop kick at the start, and then...
Yeah.
But, I'm liking this beer, man.
Yeah, same. It's very nice.
You get like sort of like a tangerine sort of
like a bit of citrusy, bit of sweet stone fruit, really nice Belgian, sort of Belgian golden flavors.
Kumquats.
Oh, also,
I just wanted to say kumquats.
Kumquats, yeah. You enjoyed that last episode.
I did.
Just speaking of last episode, bit of follow up. Last episode we spoke about like Belgian beers and Trappist beers. And since recording the episode and releasing it, a new Trappist brewery has been approved.
Yeah, I was really surprised by this.
Yeah, so it's a US based Trappist brewery now. I think they're in Spencer, Massachusetts. Is that? I think that's right. Or Michigan. It's one of the M.
One of those.
M I.
Let's just have a quick look.
So my initial question was: is this
St. Joseph's Abbey in Spencer, Massachusetts. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my initial thought was, is this like someone that's put together a monastery just so they can have a Trappist brewery? But it seems to be that the monastery's been there for quite a while, eh?
Well, yeah. Since
I think they've just started brewing or something.
Yeah. It's a pretty smart move. Yeah. It's become certified Trappist?
It is now like on the... At least on the Wikipedia for Trappist beers, it's on there, so it must be true. Mm. It is the latest Trappist brewery.
And I think you were saying before that Orval might be in danger of losing their
Trappist
brewery certification.
Yeah, there wasn't an article.
There was a Forbes article, I think. Yeah,
around this week. Yeah,
that they seem to be running out of monks, and they won't have enough monks to supervise the brewing properly.
Are they all dying of alcohol poisoning or something?
Jaundice.
Gout. Cirrhosis.
Celibacy.
Blue balls. I don't know. I reckon there's enough beaters out there who aren't getting enough anyway who would be like, fuck it, I'll become a monk.
I'm not getting laid anyway, so...
Might as well have an excuse.
Yeah, I don't get any because I'm a monk.
It's a Trappist.
Alright, so the next round we've got is... it's not one beer. It's not two beers. It's three beers. We thought we'd do a bit of a callback to our vertical episode. I think we actually mentioned this as a vertical to do. Mm. In honor of the vertical episode and Christmas, we're doing a hop dog Christmas vertical. We've got The Secret Santa from 2011, The White Christmas from 2012, and The Secret Santa again from 2013.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so... All right.
What are we starting off with?
Well, I was going to start... I was going to go chronologically.
Yeah, I think I'll do that.
Start with the 11. Maybe do 11 and 13 side by side, because they're the same... Well, a similar beer.
So do I just run through what the two styles are?
Yeah, so we've got... the Secret Santas are festive spiced Belgian ales, and the White Christmas is a double wit beer, isn't it? Double spiced wit beer?
Something or other.
Yeah. Festive Imperial Belgian style wit beer. The spices, it's just got orange peel, coriander, and white pepper. So the usual sort of wit beer spices. So what do you guys think?
So the 11, pretty good.
It's quite a bit darker than the 13, and
yeah, it has that kind of fig type dark fruit thing going for it that you get from Belgian darks. I like it. That's one way.
And I think with the Secret Santas, didn't they cook up a whole like batch of gingerbread cookies and throw it in the mash? Yeah.
I don't know.
Which is kind of cool. So it's a gingerbread beer as well.
Do you get the gingerbread?
Not really.
Is that sort of allspice? Yeah. Like
it might have been more prominent when it first came out.
Yeah.
I can't really remember.
Well, we can find out with the 13, which is which is fresh
coming up. So, did they repeat the recipe? Because I've noticed that this is 8.6 and the 13's 7%.
I think it's the same idea. Okay. It's probably being tweaked.
Right.
Yeah, so, okay, let's try the White Christmas then. So this is last year's Hop Dog Christmas Ale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an Imperial wit beer.
So it's got a real high carbonation now, the White Christmas, doesn't it?
It does, so, yeah.
Slight touch of sourness?
A little bit. But otherwise, I really, really enjoy it. I get quite a bit of the coriander and orange peel. I don't know if you guys are the same.
It's really dry.
On the finish, yeah.
It's quite dry. I think probably the carbonation has something to do with that.
Yeah.
So this one's 7.3%.
I mean, so it's getting lower. Not really a style of beer you would expect to hold up that well.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a bit of a carbonation thing and there's a slight tartness, but it's still pretty nice, man.
Yeah, it's a quite an interesting vertical to do as well. Do you want to... Let's head on to the 13.
Yeah.
Give it a try. A bit of a taste of the latest one.
Compared to the 11, is really lighter in colour.
Yeah, a lot lighter.
I get some sort of raspberry or even like a red wine barrel sort of a thing going on.
I get quite a light fruitiness. Yeah, like maybe a berry, maybe light citrus. It's a lot fruitier and lighter than the 11 especially.
Yeah, I think it tastes a bit cleaner.
Yeah.
Little less body to it, probably to do with that difference in alcohol.
I don't know, that sort of like that Belgian.
Yeah, not much. Belgian-y, it's not as Belgian as the 11.
But you know, as we're saying, I reckon this is a really good Australian Christmas beer.
Yeah,
it's quite light. It's still got a bit of darkness to it. It's
I'd say the White Christmas, especially when it came out last year.
Yeah,
I was a big fan of that as a Christmas beer as well. Lighter in colour. It was still quite strong, but whatever. And it was just, this really nice, spicy wit beer that works really well, I thought, for Christmas.
So the 13 is a spice Belgium ale, according to the website.
Yeah.
According to Link's Crafty Pint.
Okay.
And it does have the gingerbread cookies in it again. Palm sugar, coconut sugar, orange peel. Yeah.
I get the orange peel in the 2013. Yeah.
But I like it. It's still quite light and.
So there's a sort of these are all Belgian style beers, and a lot of the beers we're going to be going on to as well are Belgian style beers. Adrian's about to do a what the name of the. The blend of the 3B.
The Hop Dog Christmases.
Red, white, and red.
Red, white, and red, yeah. Red, white Christmas. Oh, wait, no, that's taken, isn't it? Yes. Super bitch.
Santa's sack.
Santa's sack. So yeah, Adrian's just blended the three together. We've got to do a blending beers episode.
It's
like every episode
we end up blending something. Yeah, yeah.
As I was saying, we're getting onto like all three of these beers are Belgian style. Well,
there is definitely a common theme running through all
between
of them.
Belgium and Christmas beers.
Yeah,
there seems to be like we've got a couple of beers coming up that are Belgian-y.
Mm. Well, Belgian like quads and stuff like that do lend themselves really well to that.
They really do, yeah. And I mean, some of the most popular Christmas beers like St. Bernardus Christmas Ale. Those are big Belgian styles. I mean, you know, the most famous Christmas beer of them all, Stella Artois. that's a Christmas beer.
Apparently
crafted like, for Christmas.
More like bleach for your mouth. I love the Christmas cases. Have you seen those? Like the cases of Stella at the moment?
I have,
but it actually looks like they've wrapped it, like with a bow. Yeah.
I saw a guy on the bus today who was dressed in nothing but a Santa hat and a gift wrap. Christmas gift wrap. Yeah.
Did he need much wrapping, or...?
I'd rather not comment any further.
So what does Santa's sack taste like?
Refreshing.
Nice.
Pain and suffering.
Pain and suffering. I guess...
It's good.
Yeah, back to like Belgian styles lending themselves to Christmas beers. Yeah, it does make sense because there are a lot of just natural spicy characters
in
Belgian beers
that,
you know, that you would associate with that time of year.
Christmas. Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Mm.
So we've all, I think, blended them together and going to finish off the...
I think it tastes pretty good.
I think it does as well. Mm. I really like the way that they've... Because they all had quite different flavours, but a commonality in, especially the yeast character...
I mean, especially
the
two Secret Santas, because they are a lot more similar.
But even
across
the white Christmas, So I think they come together actually really nicely, and this is one of the nicest blends I think
good.
We've had.
Yeah,
I'm going to call it Two Santa, Two Furious.
Two Santas and a goblet. Two Santas, one goblet.
You have a winner.
Yeah. So we thought we'd with this next beer start maybe a bit of a year in review and talk about what we really liked this year. Maybe talk a bit about what we did on the podcast, beers we enjoyed, things we enjoyed doing. And so we'd sort of kick that off with a beer that a lot of us have had a lot of this year.
Of us has had more than others.
Mm. Yeah, this one was a Christmas present from you, wasn't it, Adrian?
Yes, I brought this along. I haven't actually had this a lot this year, but. This is one of my favourite beers from last year, from 2012. And it's the Yeasty Boys Gunner Matter Tea Leaf IPA.
Now, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but on Untappd, the person who's had this the most, would that be our producer?
I believe so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but he doesn't believe in Christmas, so he's not getting any of this. I love this beer. This to me is one of the most interesting beers, one of the most unique tasting, and just delicious. Yeah.
So you know, we thought we got a lot of beers here today, so we got to pace ourselves. So we thought we'd have a round of tea and biscuits.
Mm. Yeah. So we've
got the Gunner Matter and some hop
biscuits,
hop cookies,
some really really hoppy biscuits. Like these are like
which were kindly provided for us. Thank you very much, Robin. What hops are in these cookies? Galaxy.
Nelson. You're just hearing Galaxy. You're like me.
Galaxy.
Nelson, what? Galaxy?
There's some very hoppy biscuits.
They are some very hoppy biscuits. And
I've had hoppy biscuits before, which is why I opted out this time, because they're really, really bitter.
These are very... Just have a little bit.
I'll have a little bit.
Like, that's actually probably a bit too big.
Yeah.
you could get lucky. There might not be any hops in that bit.
But that's not lucky.
But it actually is a really nice...
Holy shit.
God. But then Gunner Matter... Needs more hops. Gunner Matter goes really well.
Yeah, like, have a sip of the Gunner Matter. It goes really well.
Oh, God.
So, Maybe we'll talk about some of our... What are some of the beers we've really loved this year? Maybe, like...
Well, I mean, Gunner Matter's got to be up there in the last 2 years for me.
Yeah, definitely.
I could just... This would be my dessert island beer, man. I could drink this all day, every day.
You can have it for breakfast, yeah. Lunch, dinner, tea.
I'd bathe in it if I could. Like, yeah.
Our producer's actually tried that, I'm pretty
sure. Yeah, he's got enough of them. Yeah. I know, because I've supplied it to him.
I do love... I mean, look, I'm pretty honest. I'm probably not going to say what I'm thinking in terms of... beers that I've loved this year.
We all know what you're thinking anyway.
Riverside.
Yeah, I'd probably say Riverside 44, maybe.
Lee, our producer's nominated the Thirsty Crow Road to Ruin.
Yeah, that's fucking delicious. That was on Hand Pump recently at the Royal Albert Hotel. Yep. And as soon as I got word of that, I was at work when I heard about it. And I told everyone who I was working with, and we're like, okay, when we finish, we're going there. And we finished at like 11 o'clock, got there by 11:30 as they were calling last drinks. There were six of us. We walk up to the bar and go, we'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 18 Road to Ruins, please.
Nice.
Mikey just looked at me and goes,
it was hand sure. Pump as well, right?
Yeah.
So he would have done the alternating hands, otherwise he would have got the Popeye arm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fun.
I reckon... Garage Projects needs a massive mention.
Absolutely.
For this year. I think this year especially, they've really
upped it
and just put it out there.
That like that Calavera Katrina.
I still haven't had that one.
I got to put that. I don't know if that's my favorite beer of the year, probably been one of my most, the beer that's intrigued me the most, is having so much things and so much depth going on.
Yeah, and things that you wouldn't necessarily think go well together, but just come together. So the Calavera Katrina is a rosewater, watermelon, corn and habanero chili lager. So it is first and foremost a lager.
First and foremost it's a corn beer.
Yeah, it's a maize lager.
Yeah.
So it's, which is, you know, you think, oh, that's kind of boring.
You get this sweetness. There's just so much going on.
But
in that
it is,
beer, man.
You're expecting a maize beer, but instead you get an amazing beer.
Snap!
Hey!
Didn't Luke and Dave talk about it on?
I believe the Beer Diary podcast also talked about it recently.
Cool. Yeah.
I think Garage Projects with this last release of beers that they had have really put themselves on the map. They've mastered the use of chili in beer.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Across different beers.
The Day of the Dead, the Double Day of the Dead, the
Death from Above.
Yeah.
They have just absolutely mastered using chili in beer.
Yeah.
The perfect
like no one else. And,
So yeah, that'll be my recommendations, I reckon.
Yeah, Garage Project. Cool. Yeah. Maybe I might ban myself from using Riverside. Like,
or
you know, it's, I mean, I look, I, all jokes aside, I do like this year, to me at least in Sydney, has been the year of Riverside. Like in Sydney, it has been, they have done some of the best beers that are available from their, like from some of their seasonals, like the Resurrection Easter Ale, the Celebration, the Double IPA, the 777 that just got released. I haven't tried, but man, I'm looking
forward to
it.
Dave just texted me saying that your next royalty check's in the mail, so.
Awesome.
Riverside, awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, other than that, what else would I recommend? Yep, Feral, I think, have had a great year. The Barrico Karma, which is their Gabs beer, was excellent.
Straight Warhead?
Yeah, just the... Yeah, and I mean, yeah, and the...
I missed that.
Yeah.
Straight Warhead was delicious.
I think as a bottle shop, the Oak Barrel in Sydney have really upped their game this year.
I think, to be honest, I think all the bottle shops in Sydney have.
Mm.
Like, just over the last year, I think everyone has upped their... And I'm not just saying that to be... Yeah, but like I honestly think so. I think everyone's really brought it.
I mean, as a, you know, like I run a bottle shop, and like never have I in the last like 3 months been spending so much money in other people's bottle shops where I don't get discounts. I think Oak Barrel's done some really amazing things this year. I think Barney's also has done some amazing things.
Sydney Wine Merchants.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a bit too far to travel to, but the one time I've been there, I thought they had some pretty cool stuff.
I haven't been to the Oxford Street Liquor Store recently, but
They've got some good stuff not too long ago. Yeah,
they've expanded, right?
Yeah, it's the store looks amazing. They haven't really expanded their beers, but there's some hidden nuggets there.
Mm. Yeah, apparently they have Stillwater. I think
they had some Stillwater.
Do they get like the Northdown stuff?
They last time I was there, they still had some 2009 Rodenbach.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Is that the vintage?
Yeah. The vintage. Yeah,
the vintage. Yeah, but that was probably about a month ago. But yeah, so I think that's definitely the store's got some potential. I think Beer Cartel's just gone strength to strength this year as well, as Tom would know very well.
Yeah.
The bottle shop scene in Sydney is definitely on the up and up and growing at a very fast rate.
I think breweries as well. You've got Young Henry's in Sydney as well, been doing some great stuff this year.
There's a whole bunch of other little breweries popping up as well.
I think this year Grifters really solidified themselves as a serious contender in the scene. I think.
Yeah, so the same with Wayward.
Wayward's had a massive year this year, man. Shit.
The Wayward, the Icebox, and the
the Icebox was good.
That was just amazing.
I missed that.
What was the other one that came out at the same time as the Icebox?
The Bearded Guard?
Yeah, the Bearded Guard.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, the Icebox was just insane.
I missed out on the Icebox, let's try it. Yeah. I have commissioned a brew.
From
Wayward.
Nice.
Of Icebox.
Oh, cool.
All for myself.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm going to buy a lot of it.
No, that was really good. Just in Sydney, there's been some great stuff. And Sydney Craft Beer Week was really good this year.
Yeah.
Some really good events. We talked about that a few episodes ago.
I think all in all, man, it's been a fucking mammoth year for Sydney and craft beer.
Definitely.
I mean, we're a Sydney-based podcast, so we're going to be
talking about Sydney,
Sydney. But I think Sydney's had a lot of growth this last year.
And I think everywhere else that craft beer has been drunk is improved as well, because I've seen a lot of, on Twitter, a lot of Brisbane-based or Queensland-based breweries and bars opening up.
Yeah, I think Brisbane's in a real boom as well.
And I've actually... Like, even Melbourne, you know, there's a bunch of cool new places opening, like True Blue, if anyone's seen that in Melbourne. It's like a growler-only... True Brew, is it?
Yeah, True Brew.
B-R-U.
B-R-U, that's right, sorry.
It's a growler.
A growler-only bottle shop, which is... It's not just a bottle shop, it's a bit of a...
Well, it's a growler shop, it's a fill-and-go,
Can you drink in, though? I didn't go there.
Not yet, but I think they're planning to...
Okay, right.
I think Luke and them were talking about the whiskey and ailment, which sounds spectacular.
I went there this past weekend.
Wow, how was it?
It was really, really good.
Yeah.
I had one beer there. It was a Pilsner, but it's all about the whiskey there.
Yeah, like, okay, cool.
You know, you don't go to a whiskey bar to drink beer.
That's definitely on my hit list for this time I'm in Melbourne. Yeah,
It reminded me a lot of the Baxter Inn here, but I think they have a bigger list as well.
Really? Because Baxter's pretty big.
And it doesn't get as busy.
Okay.
I think they're more after the after work crowd rather than just every night drinking crowd. So I was in there on a Friday night after work and it was packed until about, 6:30 and then it was quiet again.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, shit, what else is there to talk about as far as what's happened this year?
I mean, we can talk about what we've done on the podcast. We've had am I going to say which episode? Yeah, it's our 12th episode. It's been a pretty cool journey. I really want to thank everyone who's listened and put up with us, I guess.
And your awesomeness.
And Riverside. Motherfuckers.
Our unofficial partnership podcast based in Melbourne.
Yeah, I think we are doing in the new year, you look for a collab between us and the Ale of Time podcast. We're going to make that happen. We're going to
down for it, yeah.
Black and Tan podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast Black and Tan.
One's the black and who's the tan?
What would we call it, Crossing the Border? Or?
Yeah.
The Ale of Time podcast, which we alluded to last episode.
Yeah.
Luke, Dave, and Emma.
Yeah.
Big ups, man.
They're on iTunes now, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put a link to them in the.
So
yeah,
I'm hanging out for the next episode. Then. Yeah,
same.
Very very good quality podcast.
They've got an actual studio.
They record in a
that.
Studio. They have a proper theme song.
Theme songs. And intermission music.
Hey, we have a theme song.
You almost feel like, you know, quitting after you hear that. But yeah, they do really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Similar but different to us.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah. No, exactly.
Yeah, really worth a listen to.
Awesome.
Riverside. Awesome. Riverside.
So yeah, so back to the Christmas beers. It's one I've actually enjoyed every Christmas for the last couple of years. Last 2 years, so this is third year in a row, I think, enjoying this around Christmas time. So you brought this one, Liam, so why don't you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, so it's Mikkola. I always get the name wrong, so I'm going to read it off the label. It's Rizza La Male.
Yeah.
And it's a play on the Rizmalade, I think.
Riz Allemande.
Allemande is a dessert, Scandinavian dessert, which is done for Christmas time.
Yep.
And it's like a rice pudding with like almonds and cherries. So this is like a beer version of that. So it's kind of a Christmas beer, I guess you could say. But yeah, so the beer, so it's a slightly tart, sour beer with lactose. So it has that sort of like creaminess.
Yeah,
and the big citrus. Big cherry.
Cherry,
sourness.
It's actually like a really nice, like light pink color. The head's got a bit of a pink tinge.
This is like if you're ever trying to get someone into beers who absolutely hate beers,
give them
this.
It's
like the perfect starting point.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like what? Yeah, like a lot of beers.
And it's really cool. It's got really cool packaging. It comes in a nice paper wrap and. Yeah, so yeah, like you, Tom, this is a beer that I've had for Christmas
a few times
for the last three years. I think it's been about the same time it's been out in Australia.
Yeah.
So I was working yesterday and I realised we only had two bottles left in the fridge, so I bought the last two.
Excellent.
One for here, one for Christmas, yeah.
Great. What do you think, Adrian?
I really like this.
Really like it, yeah.
It's really different. It's a really good palate refresher as well.
Definitely. Especially, because we had after the... I mean, Gunnamatta is a good palate refresher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has a nice... Yeah. A little bit of tartness to it, not too much. It's not a sour beer, I don't think. But
no. Yeah,
and I really like the lactose creaminess as well. It's like like when you read it, it's like how are you going to make a custard like a rice pudding based beer? I think it works really well.
Works really well, and yeah, big fan of this beer.
This is the first thing that came to my mind when I thought Christmas beers.
Yeah, and this is quite a different Christmas beer as well. It's not a big rich. It's not Belgian at all.
No,
super spicy.
Yeah,
and it's very Danish, if anything, which is kind of.
I'm actually
cool.
Really keen to try the dessert.
Yeah, the Riz Allemande. Might look for some recipes and So, what else to talk about?
Beer meets food, maybe.
Yeah, let's do that. I'll cut all that out. Do you want to introduce it? Or are you busy watching the cricket?
I was just checking it in, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, so I guess this is a good example of beer meets food, which has been the theme in Sydney Craft Beer Week the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, beers based from food recipes.
Of course.
And we have discussed one or two before in the past. The one I can remember is the old Belgian Boisterous Bicep. Did I get that right?
Old Belgian Boisterous Bicep, that's the name of it.
Yep. From Murray's, which is a mussel and oyster stout.
Yep, it's a smoked Belgio Imperial mussel and oyster stout.
That's the one.
Bam.
Still memorise that.
It's the only thing you can remember.
That's all he does at Beer Cartel. He just has a dusty bottle on the counter. He just like reads it over and over and over to himself every day.
Every time Murray's a customer comes in.
All right. You got me.
We've seen the video.
Yeah, what's some other food beers that we've had? The Voodoo Donuts.
Voodoo Donuts we've had on the and they've just released a third one, which I think was chocolate pretzel and
raspberry.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So the actual donut, because I had when I went over there, so it's like a man.
Yeah.
And
It's got like
it's a chocolate filled like dude, and it's got a pretzel spear through.
Yeah. That's like a voodoo doll. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what's on the label.
Yeah. So that's the actual donut. So it's like a voodoo dude with a pretzel yeah. spear through his heart.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, last Sydney Craft Beer Week as well. There was the big event at the Welcome Hotel.
From what I remember, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you were pretty sober that whole night, weren't you?
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Like a monk.
Sober like a monk.
Like a Trappist monk.
Yeah. I've already finished my glass of this, so that's how much I like it.
All right,
this.
Well, we'll keep talking about it while yeah. we get the next beer ready to go.
I really like this beer.
I really like it as yeah. well. So, I mean, back onto Beer Mimics Food, there was the...
Hold on, let me just interrupt you. Bro, just got out, yes! Continue.
Okay, way to date the episode.
Well, it could be any test, really. It
could just yeah. be any time during the summer, couldn't it?
Yeah, what, England getting... English batsmen getting out? That's yeah. like,
English
that's not happening.
Batsmen.
Do you want to use our goblets for this one? Yeah. So we can keep. Yeah, so Beer Mimics Food. There was the whole Sydney Craft Beer Week event at the Welcome. And who did the barbecue one? That was the guys from up, wasn't it? Bacchus. Yeah, Bacchus yeah. did the barbecue ribs one that tasted like...
Barbecue ribs?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That was my pick of the night.
It tasted like drinking marinade. Like drinking barbecue marinade.
It was like chugging on like a bottle of barbecue sauce. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some really good stuff that night. There was the Four Pines banana bread espresso one. Yeah, that was really cool.
I have bad experience with banana bread beers, so...
Reminds me of Wells.
Wells?
Yeah. Reminds me of Wells.
Yeah. Mm. No, but this one was actually really nice. It had a really nice coffee sort of flavour as well. Yeah, there's been some really great Beer Mimics Food stuff happening. Last year, wasn't there... Didn't Four Pines do a macaroon?
So it was like Four Pines did all of them last year, is that correct?
Last year, yeah.
Yeah.
So there was like the adobo one.
Yeah.
The
didn't Zumbo do a macaroon
yeah,
one?
Yeah, macaroon one.
Yeah, the adobo one was a Brewshare winner.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah.
Local tap house had a Brewshare competition, Beer Mimics Food themed.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the winner got to be pro brewed by Four Pines.
Awesome.
I believe that was. Yeah. I think Ping Lions brewed that.
So. We're on to our next beer, which is another Mikkola. It's a Mikkola collaboration. This one's my Christmas present to all of you guys. It's a collaboration between Mikkola and Anchorage Brewing from Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
Got Brett.
Yeah, so yeah. Anchorage is famous for
Brett.
Every beer
barrel
they,
age, right?
Brett and barrel age. Every
so
beer they do.
I think they ferment with Brett, they age with Brett, and they...
They definitely age
they
in secondary ferment
I think,
and condition.
Yeah, condition as well. Brett.
I don't think all of them are primary fermented with
okay,
Brett.
I think a lot of them. But
I think,
every
a lot of,
one
I
that
think all the ones that I've had have been triple breaded.
Everyone that I've seen it also is barrel fermented as well.
It just tastes like Brett. Yeah, so yeah, Merry Christmas, guys. Especially
Thanks, Timus.
Yeah. Especially you, Lee.
You dick.
Love that.
Oh, that's just so... Yeah. So good.
It's got a big hop here, too.
Yeah. And a big, just farmhouse Brett. Yeah. Mm. What's the alcohol on this one?
Good. I don't think it'd be that high.
5.3? 3.8, okay. You held up a 5 and a 3. I was like, is it 3.5? 5.3? It's 8. Okay, fair enough.
3.5. That would be good for a 3.5.
Yeah. It'd be amazing for 3.5. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing for 8, but...
I haven't had an Anchorage beer that I haven't liked.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, same. It's hard to not... Yeah, it's hard to dislike any of their beers, really.
That is a big bottle, too.
It is a big bottle. Apologies.
It's probably the only big bottle we're having today.
Yeah. Well, it's the biggest bottle we're drinking, isn't it?
Mm.
But it's not necessarily the biggest beer.
It's not the size of the bottle, it's
what's it's how you use it. Is that
how you drink it?
I've seen that video as well. Cut that out.
For once, I'm glad I don't know what you guys are talking about.
It's a good thing we do the explicit tag, right? Like,
is Mikla wearing a turban on the bottle?
Or is, it a watermelon?
I think it's a watermelon. Or a turban.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a watermelon turban.
I think we'll have to put a photo of that up on the website so people know what the fuck we're talking about.
Turbo melon?
I guess Mikkel goes to the cricket.
Nice.
That's a great name for a beer, actually. If he
Mikkel,
does like
Mikkel
a,
goes to the cricket.
Mikkel goes to the cricket.
Yeah.
It's like a Australian samurai.
Yeah, next time he's in Australia. Try and get
it. So it would have to be some sort of wood. Some like
yeah,
some,
maybe yeah.
Some leather characteristic and some grassiness.
Watermelon. Mm.
Some yeah, some wood and some grassiness. Aussie summer ale with yeah. Write this down, Lee. Yeah.
Dear Mikkel.
yeah. What I want for Christmas
instead of dear Santa, yeah. Write letters to Mikkel. Nice.
I've been drinking your beer since I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
So I think Mikkel's gotta have like the most like Christmas beers ever, right?
Well, so you've got like
from a brewery.
Red White Christmas, which is in the big 1500 ml bottles.
Two
you've got
Fratil.
Yeah.
Fratil two.
Yeah, the one that's like to and from.
Which is I think design wise the really greatest good. Beer label of all time.
Yeah, it's like
the
a great
beer
yeah,
is a gift card.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I like that as well.
It's like to so and so.
From
so-and-so via Mikkel.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah,
so
it's two from via is like the English translation.
Red and White.
Yeah, I said that. Hoppy Love and Christmas.
Are we trying to name every Mikkel beer?
Christmas beer.
Oh, Christmas beers, okay.
Which is still a lot of beers.
Yeah.
Dad's got a lot.
He probably has more Christmas beers than a lot of breweries have beers.
Probably.
Yeah.
What are some other Christmas beers that we're not necessarily trying on this episode? We've got the Red Hill Christmas.
Yeah. Which I don't think they did this year.
No,
they did.
They did. I have a bottle at home.
Yeah, we've got... Yeah, I've got
it must have just come out recently, because I was asking about that, like, last week.
Yeah, I saw it at Oak Barrel yesterday.
Yeah.
Who else did one? I mean, Rogue with the Santa's little... Santa's Private
Not
Reserve.
A big fan of the Santa's Reserve.
It's all right.
I think it's just a beer with the Christmas label on it.
Yeah,
I
think so. That's what I thought of it.
And, you know, I'm a massive fan of Rogue, that does exist.
Okay.
It exists.
St. Bernard, as we mentioned before.
Ringing endorsement. Yes, that does exist.
I didn't mean to be that negative, but St. Bernardus.
Yep.
Stella
Artois.
Oh.
Yeah.
Brewdog
before.
Have had quite a few Christmas
they have.
Beers.
I think my favourite was Santa is Dead.
Yeah. what was the other one from that year? There was,
I can't remember.
They did a Hoppy Christmas last year, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure what they did this
there
year.
There was one this year. It was like a Scotch Ale or something, wasn't it? I remember
There was. They did... Let's have a look. And we've got a few that we've got a BrewDog Christmas that we're going to have.
I've never even heard of this one before, the one we got coming up. Yeah.
They did the Hoppy Christmas last year. I'm just trying to figure out what this year is.
There's normally about two or three of them a year.
Mm.
Yeah. So we've got the Nugna, the God Jewel, and the Underlig Jewel. Mm.
Might be Wicket. All right.
No, it's not. Sorry.
Damn it! Damn it, Tom. They haven't scored a run since the last wicket, though.
That's good. Is it break, or...? No. Let's talk about beer instead of cricket. How's that for an idea?
This is... Yeah. Ashesable?
Delirium. Do the Delirium Noel. Which is a Christmas one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably one of the first Christmas beers I've ever had, actually.
The Delirium Noel.
Yeah.
I think I've got a bottle of that somewhere. All right. So, we're back to some Aussie Christmas beers. And we've got it's a pretty new beer. It was the Gabs beer this year from the Little Brewing Company. We've got the Mad Abbott Christmas Ale.
You mad?
This is one of my favourite Gabs beers.
I think, yeah, same. This is the strongest at Gabs, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
This one, yeah, it's a dark Belgian quad with some, yeah, like, just really warm, spicy, rich Belgian characters.
I think it's improved as well.
Yeah?
Based on what I remember from
Gabs. This is the second brew.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, they must have tweaked the recipe or something.
I don't know.
Or it's just aged better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And this is at a good temperature.
They're no longer going to be doing it on tap anymore because I believe it's like way better in the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It does bottle Fair condition enough. As well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
This is.
I think with Belgian dark strongs, they're always better out of the bottle after a few years anyway. I remember looking through the Gabs list, and this year there weren't too many high alcohol beers.
So you're like, the highest, yeah.
You were like looking at the thing going 4%, 5%, 6%, 5%, 6%, 12% or whatever it was.
11.3%. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to have that last.
Mm. Yeah. But it's, yeah, this is, and it's tasting so good right now.
Yeah, it's
and I'm
not smooth.
Just saying that, I promise.
It's pretty smooth.
Yeah.
So my producers asked, why is it called Mad Abbott?
I assume it's because it's Belgian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, like they have the two different arms.
Yeah. Like, now a third, right? But
I think I think it's named after our current Prime Minister, Mad Tony Abbott. Okay, I don't want to turn this into a political podcast.
So it's a Mad Abbott, as in like a monk.
Yeah.
Which is a hint to Belgian beers, because all the beers in this range are Belgian males.
Yeah, and you've got the Tabel and the Tripel, right?
The reason was the Mad Abbott as
well. Yeah, just the one. But now this is the third in the Mad Abbott range. Well, the third in their current range.
Yeah.
It's
my favourite.
Yeah, same.
Oh, that's hit me really quickly. Oh my god.
You sure it was this and not all the other beers we've had today?
Well, this is like the strongest by far.
Yeah. I don't know, for me, this has got like a lot of like banana and burnt brown sugar.
Mm, yeah.
Raisin.
Almost rummy. Yeah. Raisin. Rum and raisin.
Definite banana character there.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like caramelized banana. Like.
Mm. Yeah, like burnt brown sugar sort of thing. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, nice rum and raisin sort
of. Yeah, like rich plum and cherry.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I want to go back to Belgium.
I want to like pour this over a Christmas cake.
Set it on fire.
I don't know if we'll catch it on fire.
It's pretty, yeah, I don't know. Reduce it down and then, like.
Then you evaporate the alcohol.
Yeah, then you get rid of the alcohol.
You have to fortify it.
You don't actually get rid of that much alcohol, but.
Yeah. Let's call Heston and find out.
Yeah.
Dear Heston. I've been eating your food since I was 8 years old.
Dear Heston, this is what I want for Christmas. Yeah.
Heston and Mikkola should do a collaboration. Oh my god.
Well, Mikkola's done a collaboration with the dudes from Noma. He's brewed this couple of beers he's brewed for Noma.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
He's done a bunch of collaborations with restaurants, I think.
Yeah, it's a couple. I'm trying to think now.
Damn, I want to go to Noma.
Yeah, I want to go to Noma.
Next episode. Let's do it.
Yeah.
From your $100,000 a day income.
Yeah.
this is really, really nice. And I mean, this is coming back to the whole idea of, Belgians as Christmas.
I think this is a good Christmas beer, even though it's not a Christmas beer. Is it? It is a Christmas ale. It's the Christmas ale we're having, okay.
No, I don't think the Mad Abbott Christmas ale is really a Christmas beer, Adrian.
I thought we were, for some reason, having the,
My understanding is it's going to be a yearly quad. Vintage thing, so this is, in a couple of years, going to be a future side by side.
Yeah, so this one, it says on the label Christmas Ale 2013.
Yeah.
I just forgot what we were drinking.
Yeah, that's alright.
What did you think we were drinking?
I thought we were like drinking a double or a quad or something.
Yeah.
It's been a long day.
Shut up, it's my first day.
So I think this is
of drinking since yesterday.
Okay. This is going to be my pick for Australian Christmas release this year.
I would probably agree with you, yeah.
There's not really a lot of specifically Christmas beers.
Yeah, so you got Red Hill, these guys, Hop
Dog. I haven't had this year's Red Hill, but compared to previous year's Red Hill,
Four Pines, Christmas Saison. Mm-hmm. Who else? I can't think of anyone else drink. Surely there's someone else.
No, Hot Dogs, when we had them today.
Yeah, I said that. Yeah. So it's not much, but no, this is just delicious.
It's really nice. And yeah, I think if you have this outside on a hot summer's day, you'll just be like naked by the end of the bottle. Just be sweating your ass off.
Because it is a warming beer, definitely. It is
very warming.
Yeah. This is one that would work perfectly like in winter in front of a fire.
I think you just go back to the backyard, fill up the kiddie pool, jump in and just drink this. And
maybe chuck a bag of ice in just in case, but yeah. But I really want to put down a case of this for a while.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about buying a case. The coming cases are 16, I think. So I'm going to...
12, I think
12,
it is.
Yeah, I think it's 12, 12, you're right.
Are they called cubes?
It's not actually not a cube.
Oh, 16 is a cube, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like it's like
rectangles.
It's half a case, like split down the long way, so it's like 4-4-4, like that.
So I think I'm going to buy a case and put this away for a while.
I think that's, yeah. Very good idea.
Draw one out next year when they do next year's one. And
do one every year for 12 years.
And then in 12 years' time, episode number 375 or something, we'll have
episode number 12.
Yeah.
Episode number 13. This is episode number 12. This is our 2014 Christmas episode.
Yes.
Yeah. Just been selling it for a while.
Gets better with age.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Like a fine
cellarable.
So say good work to Little Brewing Co. It's a great beer.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. This is tasting. I've actually been drinking, and I just, just subconsciously drinking this beer because it's so good.
It is very cool.
Sorry for not waiting.
That's right. I had a sip as well.
It is the Nygner Red Horizon. Is it like sake barrel age?
Yeah. Sake, it's sake yeast.
Oh, sake yeast.
So it's, so it's beer was fermented for 10 weeks at low temperature with sake yeast number 9.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is...
So I don't know, it's a bit of a little known fact, but Nygner actually makes sake as well.
Mm.
So they actually have a sake master, I guess, who moved over from Japan, so they have a couple of... A couple of different sake aspects.
I'm not sure if they do have a sake master, because I know Kirtle was a sake fan and was doing sakes at home.
Definitely remember reading your point. There was a couple of people who moved from Japan.
Yeah, okay, it makes sense.
But it's actually a pretty good timing this beer. So this is my Christmas present to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No worries. So this is the third edition. As Tom said, it's with sake yeast number 9. Lately, I'm becoming a bit of a craft sake fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
What have you been enjoying?
So there's a company that, like a supplier in Australia called Black Market Sake.
Is it like a legitimate supplier?
Yeah, they got a really smick website. So at work, I got them approached them about getting some sakis in, and they brought in some stuff and absolutely blew my world as far as what a sake is.
But what is craft sake?
Oh, fuck you.
We'll discuss that in Riceable.
Yeah.
Riceable.
A study in rice.
A study in rice.
So they've just opened my world to like some amazing, awesome sake and the depths of which sake is. So I thought, in that case, I'll...
So you can get those here, like readily available, or do I need to go to your bottle shop?
There is a few bottle shops around. I think I know Oak Barrel has a couple.
Oh, really? I must confess, I don't go to their sake section.
Exactly.
Beeline to the beer section.
Beer line.
I haven't been, but I've heard Annandale Cellars has a pretty smick range.
Okay.
And so I've made it my mission to be like the home of craft sake in Australia at work. So I think we've got about 10 different.
Nice.
Sakis.
Okay, I'll have to check them out. Talk to the staff at Oak Barrel next time I go, I think.
It's quite quite fruity, almost peaty as well.
There is
that?
Weird. I think the Japanese would call it like unami, like a...
Yeah, definitely, umami. That's a good... That's exactly what I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, I still haven't figured out what that means.
I think in this current climate, it's probably a pretty good point to talk about some big news in the world of Nugna.
Yeah, lately. So they are no longer a craft brewery, is that the way to put it? Or
yeah.
They were bought out by a macro brewery.
They were bought out by a macro brewery, yes. And we did discuss this briefly with the Duvel Brewery buying out some craft brewery.
Yeah,
in the previous episode.
Boulevard.
Yeah. So they've been bought out by a macro brewery, which is, I guess, kind of sad. Yes, we're all out. Sweet. I mean, England are all out. Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's, yeah.
Definitely edit that out.
Sorry. So what were we saying before we got England all out?
So yeah, it is kind of sad that that they're no longer independently owned, but it could mean that they're going to have a much better distribution throughout Europe and the world.
Possibly.
All right, so yeah, I was really surprised when I read about this. So I did a bit of research, and so they got bought out by Hansa.
Yeah.
Which is like a big, like,
Norwegian.
To me, it sounds like sort of
lager.
Yeah, but it's all second family biggest, owned as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so it has a bit of like a Cooper's vibe.
That's what I'm getting, a Cooper's vibe.
But on top, from my understanding is, this is like Nugna's like the third or fourth brewery they bought out.
Okay.
And from what I've read, they actually have a pretty good track record of like maintaining
That's
those breweries
good.
As far as what they were
like,
doing.
Giving them like creative control.
Yeah, exactly. And letting them do what they do. So I don't know, like,
we'll find out.
I'm yet to reserve judgment as far as, I mean, yeah. All we can say is let's see what happens.
I think it's good for the Nugna brand. You know, you've got to be optimistic about these things. I haven't seen anything bad happen to Little Creatures since they've been.
I was about to say that. Like, yeah, out. I think it maybe it's still early days yet, but Lion has yet to fuck up Little Creatures.
Mm. Yet,
and I think they're expanding. Like, they've just
the IPA.
Geelong,
I still haven't had the IPA.
The IPA,
but, yeah.
Like, they're definitely trying to make moves in the right direction. Mm. So, yeah, like, they definitely haven't fucked it yet.
Yeah.
And you know, with Nugna, them being bought out gives Kirtle more products for his beard, which is which is really glorious and should be encouraged.
Absolutely. There are not many things in the world as majestic as Kirtle's beard.
Mm.
Yeah, look, I mean, like, yeah. And his beard. It's very easy for us to judge from afar without knowing the full story and what those guys are going through, but hopefully
behind
for
his
them.
Or...
Oh no, we're just like, you know, they're financially where they're at, and like I would hazard a guess that to say that that the Nugna Brewery would be a fairly expensive brewery to run.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know, that doesn't cost that much money to, you know, brew a beer, put it into whiskey barrels, and send it all the way to Australia, does it? Like,
yeah. No, it doesn't. I love the
cheap.
Fact
it's
that
on
there's
the
actually there's another one that's come.
The
in.
Aurora Australis, I think, is
no,
even better.
No, not that one, but there's one that's come in shipped in cognac barrels, apparently.
Yeah.
That Bridge Road have tweeted about.
Yeah.
Wow. Presumably brewed in Nugna.
What's that one going to be called?
I don't know.
Aurora.
I just love the Aurora Australis, the fact that it's a beer that's brewed in Australia. Shipped to Norway in red wine barrels, and bottled in Norway, and is now being shipped back to Australia.
That's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Carbon emissions.
Have you guys had it yet?
No, I haven't.
It hasn't, Australis?
Hasn't landed. It's in the country. It hasn't come out to New South Wales.
Yeah. I bought a bottle in from Slow Beer recently. I haven't had it yet, but the first time I had it was awesome.
Mm.
You've used that word more than I have this episode.
Probably. No, I went to Melbourne and picked it up when I was there.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, my last note on the whole Nugna buyout thing is, you know, after very briefly meeting Kirtle, I don't see him as a guy who would take the cash and run.
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I would... Probably. You know,
even like I said, it's very easy to judge from afar, isn't it?
But yeah.
I really like this beer, man.
This is really interesting, yeah.
Mm.
It definitely has an interesting sort of sake. The yeast gives it a flavour that you don't find in much beers, and I think it's that umami sort of
It's good. Flavor, it's like that combination of sweet and sour at the same time.
Yeah.
savory and
really, really nice.
So yeah, we've had the Black Tokyo Horizon on the podcast before, but this isn't the Horizon from the Black Tokyo Horizon.
No,
this is one of the Horizons.
There's only two Horizons, right?
Is there? There's a sweet horizon. There? As
okay.
Well, yeah.
Huh.
Which is, I can't remember what they do with that one, but it is the Dark Horizon that's in the Black Tokyo Horizon. This is the second Horizon we've had, theoretically, on the show.
On the show, yeah.
Because there is a coming out from Nugna, another version of the Dark Tokyo Horizon, the Black Tokyo Horizon.
Oh, okay.
But I believe this one's brewed at Nugna.
Interesting.
Okay.
But yeah, from what I've seen, it's called Horizon Tokyo Black. So maybe they've got a different blend. Yeah.
Interesting. The Sweet Horizon is a dessert beer. Hints of chocolate, fruit, coffee, licorice.
Oh, they must put I think they might put lacto in there as well.
It doesn't say that here. It says ingredients: Gribstadt water, malted barley, sugars, coffee, hops, yeast.
Yeah, so it's a bit vague, but okay.
Yeah, sugars. So maybe, I mean, lactose maybe.
Lactose could be there.
Yeah. Other than that, you've got Dark Horizon, Red Horizon, and Sweet Horizon.
Mm. Yeah.
So we're on our final beer for the episode. It's been,
and we're still somewhat. Not comatose.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm surprised how well
I'm
doing.
I go to work in an hour. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
yeah, so
they won't care in 2014 when you release this anyway.
Yeah. He'll be fired already.
Today.
And then a year from now, I'll be like, we fucking knew it.
I can cut all this out. So we've got the BrewDog Christmas Paradox 2012.
Mm.
So, I never knew this beer existed.
Didn't they? It's a recent release.
They did it last year, I believe.
Well, it's 2012.
Well,
right?
2012, yes. Yeah. And it's the Paradox beer, which they usually do in whiskey barrels. So this
an
time
Imperial Stout.
Imperial Stout, and this time they did in this time they did in rum barrels.
So
for that kind of spicy rum character.
Christmas pudding sort of, yeah.
Mm.
And
I think it's freaking great.
Yeah, it's 15 fucking percent. So
it's a sessionable beer, then.
I've been trying really hard. By then, I had this internal conflict. I'm like, do I make that joke, or do I just, call it out?
I didn't make the joke,
because when I listen to myself talking, and I make that joke every single fucking time I talk about a strong beer,
Sessionable.
You can definitely get the spice rum on the nose, eh?
Mm. It's really good.
Fuck yeah.
This is really good.
It is really good.
I really like it. End of episode, that's it.
Yep, done. Thanks, sir.
So it doesn't have, the lacing that a normal BrewDog Imperial style.
Oh, it doesn't have, it doesn't turn the glass brown.
Yeah.
I mean, it does a bit, but not as much as you'd expect for 15%. But yeah, it's actually a lot smoother than I was expecting for 15%. It's not like, I mean, because the Tokyo Star is only a bit higher at 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you can taste the alcohol in every sip you have. Whereas this
but
is...
But last time, I think Adrian bought in one of the
Black Tokyo Horizons.
That had mellowed out quite a fair bit.
So maybe the year that this one's had has actually let it.
Mm.
I think also the spice rum sort of masks some of that alcohol burn as well. Mm.
Yeah, it must be those Bundaberg barrels that they
barrels.
Ah, I love Bundaberg. It's the best rum.
Is it a rum though?
What is craft rum?
I don't think it is. They call it rum, but it's made from rice or something? Or, no,
it's
sugar
cane.
No,
it's cane sugar. It's cane sugar.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is rum.
When I was working in Queensland as a bartender, I just got the amount of Bundy I'd pour. We'd go through, the big 1.5 litre bottles, go through three or four of them in a night.
Mm.
It's like a normal night.
I used to be a big fan of Bundy back in...
Really?
High school, primary school.
School.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, university, when I was going out in Wollongong, and that's what you do in Wollongong, you have shots.
Now
you go, I'll have the OP rum. Oh my god, the OP rum, holy shit.
I don't know if I told you guys about my mate who used to rock up the parties as Bundy Man. He had a belt made out of wetsuit material that had like could hold like drinks. So you'd have like 2 bottles of Bundy and like 4 bottles of Coke on his belt.
Wow.
And then you'd have like one of those camel packs, like with Bundy and Coke in it. And that's what that was his party attire.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. I do that with craft beer now. I just like, I come with a couple of Imperial Stouts, a couple of like barrel aged IPAs and
camel pack.
Yeah. Yeah, camel pack just filled with Riverside. Yeah, awesome. It's awesome. Awesome.
And just like munching on galaxy pellets.
No, Nelson's have been hop cookies, I think. Yeah. I doubt anyone's still listening by this point. But if you are.
I'm not listening, but.
No, I can tell. But thanks for all your support this year. Thanks for listening. We might wrap up here, I think.
Cheers.
Cheers.
We'll do that.
Let's do it.
You don't cheers.
Yeah.
You don't celebrate Christmas.
How about we end with the regular
recommendations?
How about some like Christmas recommendations this time?
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. So, Adrian, why don't you can start us off?
I would recommend watching the best Christmas movie of all time, Die Hard.
Actually.
Die Hard, not Love Actually. That's
my recommendation.
Not the best. That's your favorite. Die Hard.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Can't go past Die Hard. It's just Bruce Willis at his best.
It is. It's fantastic.
That scene when he walks on the broken glass. Sorry, spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers for a 30-year-old film.
Yep.
I think you guys are missing like the ultimate Christmas movie.
Which is
Home Alone.
Yeah.
Good point. Good point. Almost as good as Die Hard.
Yeah. Almost. Close second. Yeah.
Yep.
No, I love the bit where Macaulay Culkin walks on broken glass.
Yep.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Which was his crack pipe.
Did you guys hear Macaulay Culkin has just started a band?
Oh yeah,
and with Hanson?
No. No, he started a band. All they do is record Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground covers. That's not Lou Reed. It's like they record Lou Reed covers and
Velvet Underground covers. Yeah.
But they change the words to be about pizza. So, they're called the Pizza Underground. That's an actual thing with Macaulay Culkin.
Oh my god.
And every song's about pizza.
Yeah, so I think my favourite's Take a Bite of the Wild Slice. I swear I'm not making this up.
Yeah, you sent me a link to that. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah.
Take a Bite of the
Wild Slice.
Wild Slice. Oh my god.
Alright, so you've recommended Adrian Die Hard.
You recommended.
I was Love Actually. I say that Love Actually. Completely honestly.
So I think, you know, this time of year, a very important thing is the ultimate sellout of Christmas albums by
Human Nature.
William Shatner
comes to mind.
Korn, apparently.
Korn, yes!
Korn of a Christmas album.
David Hasselhoff. Did a Christmas album.
In German.
Stille Nacht.
But I think Heilige the ultimate, Nacht. Like, want to commit suicide Christmas album is my recommendation, which is Mariah Carey's Christmas album.
Oh god, anyone who works in David Jones in retail, is going to hear that. Yeah. Like,
hey man, I will not hear a bad word said against All I Want for Christmas.
That video clip is still burnt in my brain. It's scary.
No, I do like Shatner's White Christmas. It's like, I am dreaming of a white Christmas.
So that's my recommendation for Christmas.
I do like the album, the metal album, that's a very metal, a happy, what is it? It's a very metal Christmas and a headbanging New Year.
nice.
Yeah, so Alice Cooper features on that one.
Yeah. A personal fave.
So we might wrap it up there. Thanks for all your support this year.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah. And if you've made it this far, congratulations. Yeah.
I doubt anyone will.
You sad fuck.
Yeah, don't you have anything better to do? It's Christmas, for fuck's sake.
It is the best thing to do in Christmas. Just listen to a beer podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. I can see how it plays out. You've done your Christmas family thing. You've cracked the shits. You've stormed out.
I'm going to listen to Sessionable.
Screw you, Dad. I'm listening to Sessionable.
Cracking open an Imperial Stout.
Tis the season to be hoppy.
Tis the session. Oh, God.
Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Shut up, man.
Just stop while we're ahead.
This episode is over.
We're ahead? You can find us on Twitter at SessionablePod, right? Yeah.
Now that I've got the password to that one, I'm actually tweeting.
Cool. I saw that. You tweeted a photo.
I've tweeted one thing so far.
That's awesome. That's about it. I don't think we need to do our individual Twitter accounts this time.
No, we say it every episode. Yeah, nobody's listening anyway.
Exactly.
Just going to kill myself.
Listen to Mariah Carey.
Listen to Mariah Carey.
On repeat.
Now, Mariah Carey makes me want to live.
Wow.
And end of episode.
S-A-N-T-A-C-L-A-W-S. Santa Claus. Out. Better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, he's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. When you're awake, he knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. So you better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Your town. He knows where you live. He knows that your window's open. He knows what lives under your bed.
Toyland town all around the Christmas tree. And then they're gonna burn it.